All right, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Tuesday, December 28th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, joined, as always, by my co-host here on Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, Mr. Big Marcel. What's going on, man?
Yeah, all good, man. Good day today. But my eye is kind of red. I have some problems with my right eye, so I don't know what's up with that. But overall, all good, man. How about you?
Poor guy. No, I'm good. I'm good. You know, just finished work. Now I'm ready to talk about the fights with you. Again, you know, we don't have a card to predict or to recap, but we told you guys we're going to do a podcast. We're going to do it. So today we're going to do predictions for 2022, Marcel. So we'll be looking at all the divisions, talk about who we think will be champion, that kind of stuff. We'll talk. Honestly, if you guys have anything you want to talk about today, it's like one of those open floor kind of shows. So any questions we'll take today as well. I guess we could talk about some fight announcements later on too, Marcel, you know, so it's quite a bit to talk about. We got Hype and me in the chat. We got the gorilla. Yep. Glad to have you here, buddy. So I think the way to do it, Marcel, we'll pull up the weight classes here on UFC.com. Okay. And we'll just kind of go through each weight class and kind of decide, you know, what we think is going to happen a year from now. Who do you think will hold the belt a year from now? So, I mean, it's obvious a lot goes on in the year, as you guys know, but we'll try to do this. So you want to start with the men's or women's, Marcel? What do you want to do?
Up to you, man. I'm good with everything you want.
Let's start with the women's division. There's only four divisions.
You're such a nice guy. You're such a nice guy.
And ladies first. So let's start with women's strawweight. Right now, the champ obviously is Rose. Beginning of the year, it was Weili Zhang. So we do have a new champion. A year from now, who do I think will win this title? Man, I mean, I definitely think Rose has got a really good shot of doing it, Marcel. No doubt about it. But this one right here, Miss Carla Esparza. You know, Marcel, I just think stylistically, she gives a lot of problems to Rose in the fight. That's the thing, right? That's why it makes this tough, because I really do think Rose is the better overall MMA fighter. But her one weakness, as we know, is her takedown defense and grappling. And, I mean, there doesn't get much better than Carla Esparza in this weight class. So, this is a tough one for you, Marcel, because if I say Carla, then I'm picking her to win the fight next May or whatever in the fight. So,
you know,
I don't know if I can do it right now. I think I'm going to stay with Rose, but Carla's right there for me. Anyways, what are you going to say?
The thing is, I think Carla beats Rose, to be honest. But the thing is, will Carla hold on to the belt at the end of 2022? And that's not where I'm sure, you know, because I think Marina Rodriguez, as far as we saw the first time, the second time can be different, you know. Yep. And also, I mean, imagine Mackenzie Dern wins her next fight in the match with Esparza. You know UFC's high on Mackenzie Dern, you know, and that's also a difficult fight for Carla. So the thing is, it depends how many times the title will be defended, because I feel like you say, Esparza is probably not the greatest matchup for Rose. I think she just, yeah, like Hype MMA says in the chat, she probably grinds her out. That's what she's going to do with Rose, you know. And she can do the five rounds, I think. So, yeah, I go Esparza, man.
No doubt. Okay, so someone in the chat mentioned this, which is interesting. Where is it? This guy. So, Side Collectible. So, basically, what the issue for me is, we don't have DraftKings in Canada yet, but we're supposed to get it in February, my man. So, in February, I'll be able to start betting on DraftKings, which is going to be good because, again, you know, there's some crazy odds. Can't pull up two screens at once, but I can't. You know what? It's actually might be a little bit more useful, to be honest with you, now that you mentioned that, my man. So I appreciate that, because I think this is actually a little bit better for what we're doing, Marcel. So I'm going to show you what this guy just sent me. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I knew that they had these, but the problem is, like, we can't use DraftKings. We can use the DFS, but not the actual sportsbook yet. But I can still look at the odds. So I don't know if you guys can see it that well. Make the screen a little bigger. There we go, Marcel. So right now, yeah, I mean, Rose is the odds-on favorite to be the belt holder. But Carla's right there. And I think that's right. I think these odds look good to me, you know. But you mentioned you want to get JJ plus 5,000. That is nuts, man. I almost think Dern at plus 5,000 is a little crazy. I know she lost to Rodriguez, but like you said, Marcel, she gets one more win, Marcel. They could give her a title shot, you know.
So dude, plus 5,000 is crazy, dude.
Those are you know, guys. Like, I'm not a huge like long shot guy, but those are interesting. And so is this right here, Tatiana Suarez. We forgot about her. Now the problem but is, I think she's going to 125, right? Yeah, that's the problem. So there's no real value, I guess, on that. But, yeah, I think Joanna is – I don't even know if she win the belt again. Honestly, man, but I think there's value there at plus 5,000. So I think that's a good shout. I do think it's a good shout, man. I mean, again, I'm not a long shot guy. I do think that these two at the top, I think that's correct by the odds makers. So I think these two are the top two. But just plus 5,000 is kind of crazy. You know?
But that, so, I mean, why is Poliana plus 10,000, Michelle is plus 25,000? I mean, 25,000.
I guess they see some upside here. I mean, Hill is plus 50,000. She won't win the belt. Corey McKenna. Like, there's, like, a lot of names out here that never will win the belt. Jessica Penny, et cetera. But, I mean, I think Joanna, former champ. I think Dern, you know, a very hyped up young fighter. And those two are decent long shots. But I think these two, and we didn't have the odds before we talked about it, but I had said these were the top two, and they are. So, I mean, for my money right now, the best value here would probably be Carla at plus 350, I would say, you know?
Yeah.
But there's got to be a little bit of value in JJ and Dern, I think. That's my honest
The thing is, if JJ comes back and she wins and she probably gets a number one contender fight, she's next for a title. We all know that's going to probably happen. So,
and here's a comment. Carlos plus 650 went to 350 after Dana White said he's giving her the title shot. That makes sense. So that makes sense. Hey, Tristan, he says, this is a good question. We'll take the question. Are the undefeated fighters heading into 2022, who's the most likely to lose their zero? Cyril Gane, Bryce Mitchell, Casey O'Neill, Khamzat, Askar Askarov, Sean Brady, or Master Evlov? Great question. Great question, Tristan. Love the question. Like the options. I think on that list, probably Evlov. I mean, he's fighting Tapur. He is the underdog in that fight right now. I think, you know, it's a tough fight. I think he can win the fight, but I would say that fight because his next fight is hard, man. So what do you think?
The thing is, man, it depends who they match them up with, you know? If you look at Casey O'Neill, she gets Mother Ferry next, you know? And if I think, no disrespect to Mother Ferry, because she has taken over from certain fighters before, you know? But the obvious pick is O'Neill, and if they matched her up with listen, they matched Aaron Blanchfield up with Miranda Maverick, for example, you know what I mean? So it depends the matchup. I mean, Bryce Mitchell, he's fighting Barbosa, man.
That's a hard fight, too.
That's a hard fight. Cyril Gane fighting Ngannou, hard fight. Chimaev's not booked yet. Askar Askarov fighting Kara France is a hard fight, but I still think Askarov wins.
Yeah.
Sean Brady, does he have anything? I don't think so, but
he's going to fight a top five guy like Mookie or something probably.
So,
yeah.
A hard fight as well. Mosa Evloev, Topuria, hard fight as well. So I think many can lose their O, to be really honest, man, in that list.
I think so, too. I think he's dead on. And, you know, for me, it would probably be Evloev because I think Topuria is a tough fight. And then I'm not sure about Gane and Ngannou yet, but I think, you know, Ngannou's got the death punch. So it touches Gane once in the chin, you can knock him out. So I'm obviously he's up there too. I mean, I love Gane. I think he's the better tactical fighter, but again, one punch can change everything. Rod Torque, what's going on, man? Glad to have you here, buddy. Another Canadian here. Is it Sean O'Malley undefeated? I mean, in his mind, he's undefeated. 15-0, the unranked champ. Can't wait. Dude, same here, man. Tristan, what I'm hearing is February, at least for Ontario. I'm not sure about BC. I'll let you know when I hear, but at Bookies, the website I work at now, we do a lot of, law stuff, like as far as when the books get legalized. So we do all of them. Right now, New York is the next one to get legalized in the States. I just finished Louisiana. Now I'm hoping to start in Ontario because that's going to help me out because I can actually bet and make some money, hopefully, with these books and these props. Like, will the referee take a point? Like, in the Paulo Costa Vittori fight, and our boy Kevin Scott in the chat here put $5 to win like 150 on Jason Herzog taking a point in that fight. Okay, let's go to the next weight class, Marcel.
Yeah.
Women's flyweight. Yeah, I mean, right now, again, the odds on favorite is Valentina, and number two is Tyler Santos. You know, I think Tyler's and Fiorot is right there too. You know, I think Fiorot's
Blanchfield's
right there too. I mean, these, again, whoever's doing these odds, I think is a very smart, astute person. They understand the sport. They understand what's going on. You know, I honestly think I wouldn't lay minus 360 in a future bet. There's no way. But I think that is good chalk. I do think Valentina will probably be the champ a year from now. What do you think?
It completely depends if Valentina wants to keep continuing at flyweight fighting. You know, that's what it depends, because I don't see anybody beating her at this moment, you know. But I mean, in 2 years can be different, you know. But at this moment, nah, man. I mean, she is pretty much everybody she fought, she has levels above, you know. And it's not that the women aren't that good, but she's just that good, you know.
Yep.
She is that good of a fighter, you know. She's so complete. I mean, everybody sees her as that stand-up fighter, but the ground game is amazing as well. We saw that Andrade, and we actually saw it again in the Pena fight, you know, where Pena was in a dominant position, but she got the armbar from under her, I think, you know, and she pulled it off. So, I mean, Valentina's just great, you know, and I don't see anybody coming near to her soon.
I'm with you. I mean, like, I'm just like, Tyler and Furo are the two that I think, and Blanchfield. Those are the three girls that, but these girls are a little bit older. That's why I think that we think they're going to be next, probably. You know, Blanchfield's 22, I think. So she's got time. But Santos and Fiore are like kind of in the prime right now, right? Especially Fiore, I think, is 31 or 32, right? Isn't she? So
yeah, she's a little bit old already. But the thing is with these girls are like most are very good on one thing and not that good in the other thing. You know, Fiore is a very good stand-up fighter. The ground game ain't bad, but ain't great, you know?
Well, that's why I like Santos, because I think she's well-rounded, you know, from what we've seen.
And Jessica Andrade, everybody was like, no, Valentina's ground game is going to be tested. But she destroyed her in the ground game, you know what I mean? So, man, it's such a tough... This is probably, for me, Valentina, probably along with Usman, are the two best champs right now in the UFC, my opinion.
I agree. Let's see what Alex says. The Valiants are as good as since the odds when they fight Valentino will be big underdogs opposed to the stronger fights. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. It's just, again, future odds. Just something to talk about. But you're right. I mean, like, you might get better odds that particular matchup or something, but in this case, you wouldn't have to do that. I think these are right, though. I mean, Valentina, odds on favor to win. Let's go to the next division. This division, wow. So the fighter who's not the champ right now is favored to win the belt by the end of the year. Manny Nunez. I feel like fundamentally that's wrong right now because she's not holding the belt right now, and there's no guarantee she wins it back, quite frankly, you know, after seeing that performance. I mean, I'm very tempted to take the plus 475 on the champ right now, on Juliana. You know, she barely fights. It's possible she might not even fight next year, make it to the end of the without fighting and still hold the belt, you know, because she barely fights. She fights like usually once a year. And she did fight twice this year, once in January, once in December, excuse me. I mean, I feel like, you know, she should be favored. I don't think Amanda should be favored. I know Amanda can win the belt back, but I don't know. What do you think, man?
I agree, man. But you know what really stamped thing? The plus 800 on Valentina.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely up there too. Because if Valentina fights Pena, you know, she could win that fight, right?
But she can also defeat Nunez, man.
Yeah. You know, I think this division has value, guys. And there's, because I think, you know, Durandamy could win too. She fights again, which I don't know if she will, as we talked about.
She won't fight anytime soon, man.
Yeah. So she's not going to, starting a family, from what we've heard, is that
No, it's something else. What I've heard, but I can't say that on camera, man.
Okay,
Nothing bad.
No worries. Holly Holm is interesting too. You know, former champ. You know, I would have said Misha Tate had she won that fight against Vieira, but she looked awful in that fight. I don't know. I think this division's kind of wide open, guys. Honestly, like, I kind of feel like there's, you know, some value on some of these underdogs, Marshall. Honestly, like. Like, Irene Aldana's plus 7. That's kind of crazy. Why is she below Avila and Tate and them?
That doesn't make sense to me.
That's weird. That there's value in that on Irene. Yeah. And I know that, again, she's not, like, the most well-rounded fighter. Her ground game is amazing, but the striking is excellent. And, I mean, she's getting better at the grappling, too. I think there's some value there. I'm just looking at, like, I don't know. I mean, honestly, Aspen Ladd, maybe she bounces back this year, has a good year. You know, she's, like, two or three in the division.
You know what?
Weird odds. Go ahead.
You know what kind of bothered me, man? I think to fight, I said always to you, if you want to fight Nunez, you have to go through Holly Holm or to Jermaine the Randomie first.
Yeah.
Aldana had to go through Holly Holm, you know?
Yep.
And she didn't go through Holly Holm. Pena had to go through the Randomie. She didn't go through the Randomie, you know? She beat McMahon and she gets to fight against Nunez. And I think they should have done Pena against Aldana, to be really honest. And it's great that Pena won.
She missed weight, I think, right?
But I mean, Pena got the title shot of beating Sarah McMahon, you know?
Yep,
and now everybody is like, yeah, she beat her. We know. But it was still an undeserved title shot at that moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for that's just my opinion. And no disrespect to Juliana Pena at all. She did perfect, you know?
No, for sure. You know, but as far as pure betting value goes, guys, you can lay $175 to win 100. And Amanda Nunez, or you could put $100 down to win $7,500 on Irene Aldana. I would rather do that, honestly. And again, I'm not a huge future guy, but you know, that's one. And I think Ladd at plus 10,000. I'm not ready to completely write off Aspen Ladd. She's still a young girl. If she can get the weight cutting down, she could do well in this division.
Any thoughts on that? Ladd at plus 10,000. That's crazy to be
really honest. That's what I'm saying. There's some value on these lower odds in this weight class.
She lost to Norma Dumont at 145, man. I mean, this is 135. So, I mean,
exactly.
But she has to make the weight, of course, but still.
Actually, I'm curious to see if there's any odds for the 145 division. Let's see what these guys are saying.
Let's don't hope so.
You could, these guys are, I agree with you on Aldana. I think that's a little bit too high. You know, GDR's not going to fight. Don't bet on it because she probably won't fight next year from what we're hearing. But it's possible. She fights once, you go in the belt back, guys. For sure. I'm with that, man. That's interesting. I mean, there's definitely some scalping opportunities here, guys, for sports bettors. I don't know. They probably make GDR. Yeah, probably. They probably have to fight once. value on Ladd, drop the short on Ladd. Is that a good thing? I mean, I think that there's a little bit of value there. Again, guys, you know, we're just looking at some – look at the odds, plus 10,000. If it was even money, we wouldn't say here. But plus 10,000, you put 100 to win 10,000 on Aston Ladd winning the belt. Someone who a year ago you said she would win the belt, you wouldn't have been crazy, right? So
Adam, it's honestly disrespectful to have her at the same range at Sajera Eubanks.
And Yana Kunitskaya. Yeah. That's crazy. So we're not saying Aspen's going to win the belt, guys. To answer the question, I would say Pena is probably the most likely to retain the belt. Honestly, Marcel, it's my honest opinion because she's the champ. So how would you answer it? Would you say Nunez? Would you say Shevchenko?
I go Shevchenko, man. I told you.
We got plus 800 on Shevchenko there. Yeah. So me and Marcel will be kind of like a little bit of dog action in this division. But again, I'm looking at some of the big dogs. Now let's go to – okay, we don't have women's featherweight here, so which I didn't think we would. Here's a better question for you guys. Will there be division this time next year? I mean, last year, I'm almost positive that one of our predictions was there would be no division by the end of this year. There is no division. Ah, not really, but there kind of is the belt still, right? So
they just have the belt to make make Nunez look better, to have her two belts on around the waist.
Do you think Nunez will hold the belt by the end of the year? You think there won't be a division? You think it'll be Kayla Harrison? Like, what are you thinking for the
week? Honestly, man, maybe Nunez will retire, man. I wouldn't be surprised with that at all.
Here's my prediction. There's no featherweight champ by a year from now. Women's featherweight. I think it's going to be gone, the division. Hopefully they bring in 105. Me and Marcel have been asking about for a while. I'd rather see that than 145, which is useless. I'm not saying it's useless in general, but in the UFC it's useless because they don't have enough fighters. If they had Bellator's 145 division and the UFC's combined, it would be okay, you know, Marcel, because you'd have Cyborg, Bud, all these fighters, right? But Bud's not there anymore, but you know what I mean? Like,
you know, Adam, for me it's like sometimes if a division isn't that good, you just have to get rid of the division. And it's actually super stupid that the UFC wanted to get rid of 125 men's, because I think it's an amazing division and always was.
And we're never gonna talk about that next,
you know. That's the next one.
Norma Dumont probably fight for the belt 145 possible. You need a long shot to get a title fight second half of your Hedgehog champion drop for sure. There's opportunities to do this properly, to scalp out, to arb out, to you can guarantee profit. So definitely like look at it closely and look at the odds for the individual matchups. Okay, let's go to men's flyweight. And right now the champ is Brandon Moreno. A year ago, it was Figueiredo who was the champ because he had retained the belt in the first fight. Now they had the second fight, Moreno won. Now they have the third fight in January. I think this division is also kind of wide open, Marcel. I honestly think so. I think Moreno's a good fighter. I think he's a worthy champion. However, I do think he's beatable. I think he can lose the belt. I think there's a lot of guys in this division who can beat him. I think Figueiredo could beat him. You know, I think Askarov could beat him. I think Pantoja and Cara France are interesting matchups. I think any of these guys, you know, even – and you go down a little bit, like Alex Perez is a good fighter. I mean, there's some good fighters in the division, man. But – you know, even though there's some really good fighters down here, you know, Cody Garbrandt plus 50,000. I mean, he lost the fight, but had he won that fight, that would be value. But he lost. But I mean, even like a Bruno Silva plus 10,000, guys look amazing lately. I don't know, Marcel. For me, it'd probably be.
I don't know, actually.
What are you thinking? What are you thinking? Askarov?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, Askarov had only pretty much one screw up in the UFC, and that was his first fight against Moreno. And that was it's pretty much his own fault. He went 4 or 5 days before the Mexico, where we know he was fighting at altitude, you know, and he was gassed in the third round, heavily gassed, you know, and he lost that one, I think 10-8. The first two rounds were pretty close. I actually had a draw. I had a 10-9, 1-2 for Askarov and 10-8 for Moreno. But many people were like, Moreno won the fight. I mean, I had no problem with it. But that was his only screw job in the UFC, in my opinion. Overall, he has looked good, pretty good. You know, everybody was like, Pantoja's going to beat him. I knew he was going to beat Pantoja. If Askarov fights, and he has to make weight in his next fight, you know, if he makes weight, he was one pound over in his last fight, you know, and that pretty much cost him the title shot. He has to make weight against Kai Kara-France. If he beats Kai Kara-France, he fights for the title next. If Kai beats him, Kai fights for the title probably next. So, yeah.
Yeah, and this guy's asking, like, does the winner of that fight get title
shot? Yeah, should be.
I think so. The only thing is Pantoja's out there. I know he had surgery.
I think the winner of Moreno Figueiredo fights Pantoja, and the winner of that fight fights Askarov Kai Kara-France.
All right, that makes sense. That's fair. You know, I think Cape plus 5,000, that's interesting. The guy's looked really good lately. You know, he's kind of like improved and he's kind of figured out how to be.
You gave up on him for us, remember?
I did. I actually did, because the first two fights were just, it pissed me off.
I agree.
He was like Tyron Woodley.
Woodley-ish, hands. Yeah.
Now he's throwing hands again. He's looking good. So
yeah,
let's go to the next division. Okay, this one's interesting. Bantamweight. So The interesting thing is Aljamain Sterling is technically the champion. He's actually third in the list right now, plus 650. But I don't think he wins. I don't think he'll be the bottom. I don't think he should have the check. I will say, if you bet on him a year ago, he was probably like, what, plus a couple thousand? And he was he's the champ. So that was a good bet. You know, this division, again, is a tough division. There's so many good fighters, man. And I love seeing a guy like Timur Valiyev, Marcel, right up there at the top, you know, and Adrian Yanez. Like, these guys are right below the elite guys. You know, I love it.
They are Sean O'Malley above Sandhagen and Font.
That's interesting. You know, for me, I think it's going to be Jan probably again. I do think he's the best fighter in the division. I think he got kind of hosed against Sterling, obviously, and then he beat Sandhagen cleanly. I think Jan matches up well against all these guys. What do you think?
He destroys them all, to be really honest, man. And let's be honest, you know, maybe Merab can give him difficulties with the takedowns, but the problem is Merab has to get 20 takedowns to keep somebody down, you know what I mean? And Jan will probably win that fight. I also think he destroys TJ and Aljamain in the rematch. So, yeah, I think Jan, and there's no disrespect to any of these guys because those are all great fighters. And let's not forget, man, Sterling is getting a lot of heat, and I think it was Jan's fault at first, you know, but still, Sterling milked it. Sterling did everything wrong, what you can do after a win like that, in my opinion. And that's why I got so much heat over it. But he's still a good fighter. You know, you have to look at what he did. He's still a good fighter. He subbed Sandhagen within a minute or 1.5 minutes in the first round. That's very impressive. Before that, he looked good, you know. So, got to give him credits. But still, Piotr Jan for me, man, all the way.
Fuck, this division is so stacked, man. I'm just like, look, even the guys at the bottom here, like Nate Mannis, Kyler Phil, these guys are all good fighters, you know. Such a good division, man. It's so good. I'm going to go with Piotr Jan, though. I do see that our boy Tristan likes TJ. Yeah, no, I don't know if there's, you know what, you're right. I don't know if there's such a line value on Piotr Jan. I agree with that because, you know, it's, again, future odds, you usually want to take plus money. I just do think he'll probably be the champ next year, you know, so I do think that the chalk is fine on it. I mean, it's not a bet I probably would make. I'd rather just bet on the individual matchup, honestly, at this point. But, you know, as far as, like, the long shots go, Marcel, as a long shot, who is the someone that you're looking at here, a long shot?
Long shot, man, I'm really interested in Umar Nurmagomedov if he fights. Okay. You know? Okay. And also, man, I like Dana Bacharel, man. I mean, that dude is talented, you know?
Those guys are good. They're Carter very Phillips. Good. Yeah, they're all good. Philip, Nate Mannis has looked amazing lately, I thought. You know, Barcelos can get going again and start fighting more often. It's kind of crazy seeing guys.
Jimmy Rivera's not in the UFC anymore.
I know, he shouldn't be on the list. I was just going to say that. You know, Sunsell's the last one. He's ranked somehow, but he's the last guy on the list.
Timur Valiyev.
Yeah, he's way up there. They really like him, eh? They like Valiyev. I know. So do I. I picked him against Barcelos as an underdog.
Chris Trione doesn't, but I do too.
All right. And I also think Cejudo, there's no value at plus 2,500. I just, you know, to me, it should be you'd have to get better odds. He thinks you think there's value on Cejudo? I don't know, man. I think if he fights, he's going to fight at 145. I think he's going to fight Volkanovski. I don't think he comes back 130.
Yeah, he wants to 145.
That's what I think, so I could be wrong, though. Yeah, I'm with you, man. This division is ridiculous. It's so good. Alder Trigger. Hey, what's up, Daniel? That's funny. He definitely triggers people. I mean, the guy's a good fighter, but, you know, he's not really a champion. You know?
I mean, I spoke to Aljo many times, you know, and that was before he was a champion. He's a real cool dude, real laid back, you know, but the thing is, the way he handled the aftermath, that's a problem, you know, and that's why so many people are upset with him. But he's a good fighter, man. Got to give him
credit. Yeah, it was dumb because he's like, oh, I don't deserve the belt, and he's taking pictures with it 5 minutes later. You know what I mean? Like, people don't think he's genuine now. All right, let's go to featherweight. Wow, interesting division. So Volkanovski is the odds on favorite minus 120, and then you got Holloway plus 175, and you got a bunch of other guys that are like way below them. You know, I don't think there's value on Volkanovski.
AJ McKee.
Yeah, AJ McKee, that's crazy. I mean, I don't know if he could get out of his contract this year. If he could, it'd be amazing, but I don't think so. You know, Marcel, like, I understand why Volkanovski's favorite, but I don't think I wouldn't lay the juice on him. You know, Holloway. I think Holloway probably is going to be the champ, probably. But there's so much that can happen. This division's crazy. Giga could fight Holloway and prove to be a terrible matchup. Cejudo might come back and fight Volk. Look at the odds of Cejudo here. It's not really that crazy. I think Zabit, if he comes back, can give a lot of problems to anyone in this division. Give me your thoughts on this one, man. I think this division, guys, is another stacked division. A lot of interesting guys here. What are you thinking here, Marcel?
Yeah, man. I mean, I think Max fights Volkanovski next for the what's that, fourth time probably. I pick Max in that one this time. I think Max will do it this time. But man, I love to see how Giga Chikadze against Calvin Cato works out. You know, if Giga can get a win there, he's a player. You know, and he's definitely got some value on him. And Zabit, it depends when he fights. And many people will say Zabit only has gas for two rounds. I mean, I have to see it. You know, Zabit is typically the guy who, if he has a three-round fight, he trains to win the three-round fight. You know, that's how I feel. And I want to see him in a five-round fight. And actually, he was booked against Jair in a five-round fight. Mm-hmm. And he pulled out that the first time. But the other times, Jair pulled out and Zabit didn't pull out. So that he doesn't want to fight five-rounders, that's not true. But everybody's falling over the Calvin Cater fight in Moscow. The thing was, that fight was actually supposed to happen, I think, a month earlier in Boston. You know, that was the co-main event. And that fight got canceled because Zabit had COVID. Yet no, it wasn't COVID back then, but he had something like, how do you say that? Staph. He had a staph infection. That was it. He had bad staph. And the UFC asked to do it in November in Moscow. And he said, okay, cool. And then it would be a main event. But the Moscow card actually was Junior Dos Santos, I think, against Overeem at first. But that got canceled. Or Volkov against Overeem. And that went Volkov-Hardy. And then they bumped up Cater against Magomed Sharipov to the main event. And then they asked him, do you want to have a five-round fight? And he says no, because a three-rounder was already heavy on him because he had that heavy staph infection, you know? So this is some background information you guys need to have. So that won the three-rounder. So many people are still like, if it was a five-rounder, Cater would have won. Yeah, he would have won because Zabit did it at Gas for five. So, and I look like a Zabit apologist, but I'm not, I'm just saying how it is, you know?
By the way, there's some, not mistakes necessarily, but there's a few guys like Ricky Simon and Cody Stamen should not be in this weight class. They're 135ers. So I think they had fought 145 or something, and maybe that's why they're in this division. I know Cody had fought at 145, but Ricky, I don't know if he did. I don't know why he's
yeah, Ricky here. Fought against Kelleher at 145.
Oh, there you go. I think that they just I don't know. That's a mistake. It should be another weight class. Get those comments, guys. Sorry, you sent this one. The problem is there's so few title fights per year. Most of these guys, that might actually be a chance or fight for a belt won't get a chance 2022. Yeah, I know. It's usually like one or two title fights per division. I see Topuria beating Volk. I don't know how fast UFC one ranks. Topuria is amazing. He's talking about the Yair Zabit thing. 145 is tough to predict. It is tough. He's looking at Emmett and Arnold Allen as potential underdogs. I think that's possible for sure. I think Giga too. I mean, this one's tough. This is a tough division because I think that Max can beat Volkanovski, but that fight probably happens early in the year, and then you have the whole year left, and anyone else could come in. Like Zabit could come back and look amazing. I think that, you know, for a long shot, I think Zabit, there's some value in him, man. If he comes back, I think the guy's incredible. So if he fights again,
man.
Yeah.
Jair. I counted him out against Holloway, but he looked good. He lost, but he looked good.
Yeah, he did. And if the UFC signs AJ McKee, I mean, I would assume they give him a title shot right away. So, you know, if they can get him under contract by this time a year from now, that actually might be a decent bet too, but just not sure if they'll be able to get him on that deal. All right, men's lightweight, another really interesting division. Again, I think, you know, most people wouldn't have predicted Oliveira. They would have predicted someone else, probably like Poirier. I'm just looking at the odds right now. So, I mean, this is the next fight. It's going to be Oliveira Gaethje. So I understand why they're, such so highly up here. You know, Islam's right there. There's got to be some value in Islam, you know. But I think you got to go down a little bit more. You go to my guy, Matthias Gamrot, plus 5,000, Marcel. I love that guy. And what about Armin or Demir Ismagulov at plus 10,000 each? I mean, those guys are beasts, and it's possible to get title shot. What about Gregor Gillespie plus 15,000? It seems like there's some long shots here that have a chance. I don't know. What are you thinking, man? What are you guys thinking?
Yeah, I agree. There are definitely some long shots. I think I would go with Islam plus 240. But I like your Gamrot pick as well. But the thing is, will Gamrot fight for a title in 2022?
That's the problem. Probably not. Sure. But he is like 33, I think, isn't he? Isn't he up there? Let me see how old he is. I'm 33, so let me see how old
he is. I think he's younger than us.
31, yeah. Sorry, 2 years younger than me. So he just turned 31. He'll be 32 next year. I would hope he fights for the belt at some point. I mean, I don't know if it'll be next year, though.
What about Fiziev?
Fiziev's up there. So I think Fiziev, you know, and what about Gillespie, man? Plus 15,000. Like, that's kind of nuts, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
You know, but again, will these guys get title shots? It's so hard to say. I think this division is a little bit wider open this year, though, because you won't have Dustin fighting for the belt probably this year, or Connor. So I think you'll have these other guys duking it, unless Connor fights Oliveira or something, which I hope not.
But. Can we agree that 135, 145, and 155 is absolutely sick?
Yeah, they're sick. They're these divisions are ridiculous. And then obviously 170. These are the best. This is like the best weight classes in the UFC. Hell yeah, man. Coffee in the show. Fuck yeah, man. Love to hear it, buddy. Why is Alan so high in the ranks? I don't know. He's got a 7-fight win streak, I think. That's probably why. He's a good fighter, no doubt. He's good. I think Islam is an obvious pick, Tristan. Plus 240 is not bad value at all. I mean, you know, the guy's usually a massive favorite. You didn't plus money on him? It's pretty crazy. Ah, Conor plus 3,500. I can't do it.
He still has to recover from that injury as well, man. I mean,
and then he has to beat, like, all. Well, he could beat Oliveira. It's possible, man. It's possible. It's
possible. Definitely in the first round, if you look at the Oliveira fought first rounds. Yeah.
Possibly Islam or Gaethje. Those guys are gonna. I think they would just destroy Conor. I can't. I can't put any money on Conor.
What about Islam versus Conor, man? Oh my god.
Oh my god. Islam would just take him and beat him up. Take him down and beat him up. Demir, we outclass Islam. Yeah, I think Demir is really good. Again, plus 1,000, 10,000. Excuse me. Like, there's some value on that. I'd say if he can make weight, didn't fight the last time. Feel like you get time to go. Fuck yeah, it's tough. It's tough. I mean, here's the thing. I'm 5:30 p.m. Eastern. Marcel's at what time is it? 10:30.
11:30.
Marcel's 6 hours behind me, guys. So you're talking about the time issues. Marcel is way behind us. I think he's probably the latest guy here. All right, Marcel, let's go to Well. Oh, sorry. So who would your pick be? You'd be Islam, right? That's your pick. Okay.
Yeah, you're by the way behind me, right? I mean, it's later over here than it's at yours.
Yeah, you're right. Some guys are even behind me. All right, let's go to welterweight. Right now, again, the odds-on champ is Usman. Right behind him, Kamaev. Got Luque, you got Edwards, Burns, Covington, etc. You know, Usman seems like the obvious choice, but I'll be honest with you guys. A lot can happen in a year, and you know, this guy's gonna probably have to fight two or three times against some killers like Kamaya, probably, and some of these other guys. And also, there's been talk about Usman potentially retiring. He's mentioned that, or going to boxing, you know. So I think I wouldn't lay the juice on him. I don't think that's good chalk in this case, personally, because I think there's just a lot that can happen in this division. You know, as far as who I would say wins, you know, there's some long shots here that are interesting. But, you know, for me, it would probably be, you know, Kamaev, I would say Marcel. I think, guys, you know what? I think I know there's a lot of hype on the guy. I know everyone's sold on him. I'm sold on the guy. I think he's amazing. And I think at plus 550, you're getting some value on Kamaev. Yeah, I'm with you, Tristan. You know, I think the guy's good, you know, and I think I believe in him. So, get plus 550. This guy's usually minus 550. What do you think, Marcel? Who's the champ a year from now?
Would be this one. Usman, Chimaev at plus 550 is a great one. Covington, listen, man, if Usman isn't there, yeah. Covington fights is a good one. Sean Brady, a long shot, is a good one. And I really like, and that's for a really, really long shot, Shavkat Rakhmonov, you know?
Where is he? Oh, here. Yeah, the guy's good, you know. But again, will he fight for the belt next year? That's the problem, not. Right? Probably not. That's it's time. But again, like, timing is always an issue with the UFC. Like, just say someone gets title shot, you get COVID, they have to bring someone else in. You never know, right? Like, anything can happen.
Why is Connor there at welterweight?
Because he might get title shot in this division, man. It's an interesting weight class. I think Kamaev is probably the best value on the board. I think Kamaev. I really do. Yeah, I think so too, guys. I think we've all kind of – it's a consensus dog here on Cam's at plus 550. Those are good odds, you know. He might not have to fight Usman. He might fight someone else to get the title shot. We don't know. I don't get Arnold Allen's number 7. He hasn't beat anyone ranked even close to that. Did Yusuf, who was like 10th or something.
Yeah, that's the thing. And then somebody dropped out of the ranking, so he
fell out.
Zabid, yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happened. So that's – and I don't like when that happens, man, because basically what happens is someone falls out and then artificially they're getting bumped up even though they shouldn't be just because they're falling out. Yeah,
that's how Jair got to number 3, to be honest.
Which you hated, but now you agree with after you saw
it. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he showed it, you know, in his last fight. So I got to give him credit for that.
Tristan says Covington plus 2,000. He likes that one too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what, guys? Leon Edwards plus 700 is interesting. I don't know if he beats Usman. That seems like the next fight. I don't think he wins the fight, honestly. Yeah.
You say for hype MMA says people don't give him enough credit. I know the problem just with Leon Edwards is he sounds as boring as his fight style is normally, you know. And I no disrespect to the dude, he does well what he does, you know, but he's just not somebody who people get behind, you know. And he doesn't have the persona at all, yeah. You know, that's his problem, you know. But he's a very good fighter. You gotta give him credit. He's definitely top five in the division, and I think he deserves the next title shot against Usman 100%, you know.
Yeah, but, he should fight next, but they fought before and we saw what happened. I don't think any changes. I think Usman wins again, you know.
Me neither, but
that's why I like Kamaev. Yeah, I agree with that. He absolutely deserves to fight for the belt next. I'm just saying, I'd rather take a shot on a guy like Chimaev, who has that nasty wrestling and who, you know, is kind of like an unknown a little bit. Get some more comments here, guys. Yeah, so we're all on that one. Any thoughts on Leon? Sorry, I just mentioned that one. Shavkat. Yeah, that is crazy. That is crazy. I like that fight too, though. Carlson Harris is awesome too, man. That's a fun one. What's next for Gillespie? I mean, you're on the channel. You're on the show every week. We still don't know yet. I mean, I'm thinking it's Thursday. By the way, I was going to tell you. So I posted JFM today on my Twitter. I don't know if you saw, buddy, but I was like, to the guy who's always asking about Rorov, it was just for you, man. That. So he's fighting Latifi next February, I want to say. Is that when it is?
February 19th.
Romanov should be the big favorite in that fight, I think. You know, Latifi's a strong dude, obviously a big guy, and he actually almost beat Derek Lewis, you know, to be fair to him. But Romanov, I think, is really good, man. And we all like Romanov in this podcast. Yeah, I think Leon, it's not a bad pick, but I'd rather take Khamzat, personally. He's been showing vulnerability. Yeah, I think he can lose, man. Yeah, I don't know if Usman's going to take that fight. Usman's great, don't get me wrong. I mean, right now he should be favored to beat Khamzat. Honestly, he probably should be, but doesn't mean he'll win the fight. You know, doesn't mean that at all. All right, let's go to men's middleweight. And I got a few in this one that I like. So let's go to this division, Marcel. Right now, Israel Adesanya, odds on favorite, minus 120, short odds. I think that's not bad chalk, honestly. For instance, Volkanovski is minus 120, and so is Israel. I have a much more, I think there's a much better chance that Israel is the champion in his division than Volkanovski is. You know what I mean, Marcel? So I do think that's a decent price if you like Izzy at 185, which I do. But for me, I'm looking kind of like at the long shots here. And I don't know if it's a long shot, but you guys know I fucking love Sean Strickland. I think Sean Strickland's a great fighter, man. And again, I don't know if he beats Izzy because I think that's a tough fight for him because it's going to be striker-striker, but who knows? I mean, the guy, if he goes out there and beats Jack Hermanson, finishes him maybe, he might be next in line for the belt after Brunson and Cannonier. And Cannonier plus 3,500, I think there's value in him too. So I think in this division, there's some long shots because here's the thing about Izzy. He might not even hold the belt at the end of the year. He might just move up and wait at this point a year from now. So I'm looking at some of the long shots. Like I said, Strickland's a guy I like, Cannonier, and this guy Pereira as well is great. I'm really shocked Phil Haas is on the list, and I don't know why. It's kind of weird when he got destroyed by your boy Chris Curtis. But, you know, this division, honestly, like a lot of the long shots are guys that, like, shouldn't even be the UFC anymore. Sam Alvey, Zach Cummings. Like, this division seems a little bit more straightforward. You got Izzy, and then you got a couple guys like Whitaker, Strickland, Cannonier, who I think are legitimate threats. And then Pereira, if he fights for the belt, he obviously will have a good chance to beat Izzy again, as he already beat him, I think, twice in glory, right? So, what do you guys think, man? Right now, I love Sean Strickland, so I think there's some value there. But I do think, you know, Cannonier, he beats Brunson, he gets a title shot, he could have a good chance to win the belt. And then Pereira, those would be my guys. What do you think?
I actually like Whitaker in a rematch against Adesanya.
There you go.
And I think Imavov has a good chance.
Yeah, dude. He's great.
Plus 57. How do you say that? 5,700?
Plus 7,500.
Yeah, 7,500. I mean, that's a good one as well, you know. Others, I don't know. Listen, man, Pereira, I have to see more, you know, because the first round against Mikhailidis wasn't good, but the second round he came back great. So yep. I have to see more. But for me, listen, if Adesanya goes away at middleweight, I even think Vittori has a good chance to be champion there, man. But I go Whitaker or Imavov. But if Imavov gets a chance to fight for a title, probably not this year.
Yeah, that's the problem. I do think Strickland could get the title shot, you know? Khamzat wins at 170 to go to champ plus 3,500. Very possible, but I think he would just stick around and defend the belt, you know? That's the problem, right? So I don't know if there's value at 185 at this point. You think he likes Vittori? I mean, that's interesting too, you know? Because if he does leave, Vittori was the second best guy besides Whitaker. So it's definitely possible. Vittori beats everyone on Izzy. It's possible, man, for sure. He's really good. I think Vittori's great. Strickland already playing a mental game and slick inside boxing. I think I like the Izzy matchup for him. I love Strickland, man. He's awesome. He says they have the best boxing 185. Well, they're teammates. They love training with each other. I love both guys. By the way, Strickland, I mean, the guy is something else. I don't know if you've been following him on Twitter. Some of the tweets he's saying are a little bit out there, guys, but he speaks his mind. That's what I'll say about the guy. I wouldn't be surprised he gets banned on Twitter, though, Marcel. Would you be surprised at all? I don't know if you've seen the comments he's been making. Would you?
Yeah, I saw.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't think it's very bright, what he's saying, but hey, man, I'm not triggered by it at all.
I mean, he admits he's not the brightest guy. He's like, I think he even quoted himself as saying, I'm like a white trash, racially insensitive person. That's what he said about himself.
Yeah, I saw that.
So in his interview with, I think it was with Helen. So, but I think he's a funny guy, but he's got to be a little bit careful because someone's going to report him, guys, and he's probably going to get kicked off Twitter. He's already been kicked off Instagram. And I think the guy's really funny, but some of the stuff he's saying is a little bit crazy, Marcel. All right, Vittori's like UK game. I think he takes a loss this year, possibly. Yeah, he's like the 1A, 1B, or I shouldn't say 1A, 1B. It's like a clear one, number two. Thought that Khabib said UFC pulled Umar with a short fight. I don't know. I didn't hear that, but Khabib doesn't seem too happy with the UFC these days. Eh? Like they're picking some fights now. He's a promoter and stuff. I don't know if you've noticed that. Seems like there's a little bit more, like, you know what I mean, Marshall? More aggressiveness in the way he's talking and stuff.
Yeah, true, but I don't know if that's – I mean – I didn't like the Umar Shore matchup at first place. You know, why are you going to put two upcoming guys together in a fight? You know, and now you got Shore against, what's the guy, Valiev? I mean, that's also, I mean, I sometimes don't get the matchmaking. I really like the prospect fights, don't get me wrong, but sometimes I'm like, you got some old guys in the division, you can match up with these guys, yeah. You know? And then it's still not like Bellator's plus 3,000. It's still like plus 200 or plus 300. So
by the way, where's Andre Muniz? He's on the list. Someone just mentioned him. He's on the list. He's not on the list. I don't know
what
why.
The hell?
Yeah, he's on the list. I just noticed that. Is he ranked? Maybe they just didn't put him in. Let me see.
He is ranked, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, he's number 13. That's a mistype by them. They have Zach Cummings on the list, but they forgot to put Andre Muniz. I can't see him. Am I missing him? Am I blind?
No, I don't see him either.
I don't see him either, guys. So he's on the list, but I think he's another guy that, you know, if he's around that 10, 15,000 plus 10, 15,000, that's interesting. Luke Rockhold on the list. What a joke. That guy's not going to fight again. He'll pull out of every fight. Let's get some more comments. Imavov, yeah, we all like him. I bet on three times this year, I won two of the fights. Pretty good. If Brunson keeps grappling heavy, he'll beat Kanier and could grapple Izzy. Possibly. He's got to wrestle.
Can I reply to that?
Yeah, of course.
Because the first time Brunson fought Izzy, I expect him to grapple, and he did in the first 3 minutes of the round, the first 3.5 minutes. And then they stand up, and then he started to trade shots with Izzy, and then he got knocked out. So I was like, I hope if he fights with his fight IQ, he can win against Izzy, but he has to get him to the ground. Don't stand with him. You know,
yeah, no,
so
no,
I'm very hesitant to pick Brunson again over Izzy this time.
Yeah. Hey, Owen, what's up? You're saying these UFC of the year are bad. We were talking about it yesterday. I don't know if you were in the show yesterday, Owen. We were talking about it. Marcel didn't have the nicest thing to say. People love to pull against Shore. Yeah, it sucks. I like Jack Shore.
Oh, Owen wants to get me pissed here, man.
Owen, we did talk about 135. We talked about I think it's about probably half an hour ago. It was one of the first ones we did. Go back in the replay and do it. We got to go to light heavyweight now. So
yeah.
We're going from bottom up. Light heavyweight division, UFC. Right now, Glover Chair is the champion. He's plus 300. So fundamentally, I do think it's a little bit weird seeing him as the second biggest here. When Prochaska's never fought for the belt. He's never won the belt. I think he's great. You know, I think he matches up well against Glover. But I think this division is wide open, Marcel. I really do. I think this division is wide open. Honestly, I'm looking more at some of the big, bigger dogs like Ankalaev, I think, has a really good chance to win the belt by the end of the year. I think he's got a good chance.
By the way, Bukauskas is also not in the UFC anymore.
Yeah, there's like these lists aren't the best, but they're decent, you know?
Yeah,
it's possible when they made the list, he was still under contract. It's possible. I'm not 100% sure. But like a guy like Ed Herman should obviously not even be on this list. For me, yeah, I think I would kind of – I'm looking at Ankalaev at plus 1,000 or so, honestly. I think this guy's really good, and I think he can win the belt. So that's the guy I'm looking at right now, guys. As a big long shot, as a big, big long shot, Paul Craig. As crazy as it sounds, because he gets you to the ground, you can submit anyone in the world. It's just, you know, the chin's not good. But, yeah, I think, you know, who's going to win the belt by the time of next year? It's going to be either Glover, Jiří, or Ankalaev. I think it's one of those three guys. And obviously that you guys kind of feel that I'm kind of picking Ankalaev against Thiago Santos. I am, you know, so I think he can win that fight in impressive fashion too, maybe. So I don't know, Marcel, what do you think? I'm thinking Ankalaev plus 1,000 has got some decent value. What do you think?
This Canadian guy named Adam Martin just stealing my pick here. You know?
Oh, you're picking him too. There we go.
Ankalaev, yeah. I'm thinking Ankalaev, yeah.
There we go. Yeah, the guy's a beast, right? He's just an absolute monster.
He 100% lost 1.5, 2 years of his career in the UFC by losing in the last second to Paul Craig, you know? Because if he won that fight, he was already at that top of the division. And now he's still trying to get to the top three of the division. You know, that's what I think, you know?
Yep, I agree. By the way, Daniel's like, why is Chris Gritzbacher on the list for the lightweights? It's because he lost to my boy Claudio Puelles. Marcel spinning facts. Yeah, it's possible. Oh, he's saying Ihor Pateria. He's obviously not on the list, but he looked really good on Contender Series, right? So, Ankalaev is like Princess Peach waiting at the top of the castle with Mario Value. Yeah, I think Ankalaev's right there. One more win, he gets a title shot. So, he's got a really good chance, I think. Jamal Hill's right there, too, but, you know, he did lose to Paul Craig. So, I think he's a little bit farther behind these guys, but he's a beast, man. I like Jamal Hill. You know, had he won that fight, I think there would have been good value on him here.
Very impressive showing against Crute last time. Yeah.
Looked great, man. I you know, it's kind of even strange seeing him over Paul Craig in the odds. You know what I mean? Like, because they just fought, and you would think Paul Craig would be higher than him in the rankings, right? Or in the pecking order, but you never know. Okay, so yeah, let's go to the heavyweight division, guys. Last division here. You know, this is an interesting one. Last year, this time, I would have picked Jon Jones. That's the crazy thing. He never fought this year, which shows you how crazy these futures are, right? These are not easy things to pick because so much happens. Jon Jones was supposed to fight this year for the belt, never fought. And I think if he fought, he probably would have won it. So I think Jon still, if he returns, he's got a really good chance to win the belt. But right now, I would go with Ciryl Gane at plus 165. What do you think, Marcel?
Yeah, man, I mean, Greg Hardy, no, man, of course not. I'm going with, I think Ciryl Gane as well, man. I think Ciryl Gane, he is like the real, I shouldn't say it that way, but I still say that way. I think the fans who are really invested in the sport really can appreciate Ciryl Gane. I think the more casual fans can't really appreciate him because Ciryl Gane can win a fight in a spectacular way, but he can win in a very boring way. He can adjust to the moment, you know. If he fights a dangerous guy in the stand-up, he can use his wrestling or can totally neutralize the guy striking, you know. And the dude looks massive. He looks in shape, you know. And in heavyweight, that's a thing, you know. Look in shape and are very... He's complete, man. He's good on the ground. He's good stand-up. Remember when he made his debut against Bebezinho, I think, in the UFC, against Pessoa. And everybody was like, this is the submission specialist against the knockout artist, you know. And then he submits Pessoa. And then after that, he submits Mace, you know. And he worked his way up this year. He won against Rozenstruik, against Volkov, won the interim title against Lewis. I think as long as he can stay away from Ganu's big punch, you know, he wins that fight all day, you know, and definitely if it goes to the later rounds, he wins that fight. So, and Gane will be very dominant in that division, I think. I don't see anybody beating him, to be really honest.
Yeah, that guy's an absolute beast. I mean, we all like him on this podcast, obviously. I think all you guys like him too. It's hard to go against Ciryl Gane, but I mean, obviously, Francis has a chance to knock him out, obviously. You can't discount the guy who's got a dynamite in his hands. Paul Craig was Ankalaev's pandemic took a few years from his title run. It's so true. That's actually really funny. He basically, yeah, it's like a 2 years thing. There you go, Marcel. Would you consider Romanov's build slow one compared to Dawkins, Kari, Aspinall? Seems like it. I'm not sure if they just not sold on him or what, but you know, I understand after the Espino fight with the nut shot, the way the fight ended, why you know people would have been a little down. But after the last fight, how are you down on this guy? He's amazing. He's a great fighter, man.
Many people are disregarding that from Romanov against Espino because they say he was faking. I did hear that he went to the hospital, was in the hospital for many hours because some nerve got touched and he couldn't move his leg at all. You know, he had no feeling in his leg at all. So it's not faking, you know. And I know many people thought he was faking, but it's not, you know. And of course, it wasn't intentional what Espino did, you know. But I mean, I don't care if they run it back if you want to run it back, you know. But now it's like they give Romanov, he's 4-5-0 in the UFC, and now they gave him Latifi, who's not even ranked. It's kind of weird to me, you know. But I don't mind the matchup.
I don't understand the fight either. It's almost like he's going backwards in a way because, like, yeah, you know, he beat DeLima, who's probably ranked above that guy last year, you know, Marcel. Like, seems like he's going backwards a little bit. I don't know.
It's weird, right? It's weird. They gave some fighters, for example, Tuivasa was not ranked, and they gave him Sakai. And obviously, they gave him Sakai because Tuivasa is very popular, you know, and they want them in the rankings. But you got to look at quality as well, man. And Romanov has done well in the UFC, so give him a higher-ranked opponent.
4-0 with 3 wins by stoppage. Yeah. The one win that he probably should have lost the Spino fight by split decision, I thought. But, you know, he got the technical decision. It was a weird fight.
Very real fun.
Then you get these comments, guys. And Nagano wins, they do AJ and Nagano. I mean, that was the plan. This shit didn't happen. I don't know. I mean, if Nagano wins, I think they might even just do the Stipe trilogy fight. I think that's possible.
Nagano wants to go away from the UFC.
Well, if he wins the fight, he's not going away. You know, if he loses, though, then I think the free agency thing kicks in. If he wins, usually they extend the contract by a year for the champions clause. That's usually what happens, like three fights or whatever. That's usually what happens. If Nagano loses, which I think he has a good chance of losing, then boxing is a possibility, guys.
I think many people sleeping on Gan, man. Really.
They are, which is crazy. Hey, Glenn, Tom Aspinall's a lot higher than thought. You type of person get the Dana White privilege. You got to imagine that someone at DraftKings has got some sort of inside information. I mean, they do work close to the UFC. They wouldn't just put these lists out randomly. I'm sure they talk to someone there.
I mean,
maybe they talk to the matchmakers. They were like, what are you guys thinking? Like, I don't know. I think the odds makers do their homework. I don't think they just throw at random numbers. So
the UFC is craving for an English champion. They are just craving for it. You know, they tried with Darren Till, didn't work. They tried with Dan Hardy, didn't work. They got it with Bisping eventually that they didn't expect. You know, they are just craving for an England champ. That's pretty much it. And now they are trying with Paddy Pimblett. They're going to try with him. You know, they're going to try with Aspinall. Although I think Aspinall is very good talent. You know, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But they're really craving for England champion, you know, so they can build their bigger shows over there in the UK. That's what they want. That's what they're pretty much trying.
I wonder if 2022 is the year Henry Bunk defended more than once. Man, I'd like for it to. It got defended one time this year, obviously. Actually, wasn't successfully defended. It got lost by Stipe. And then you had the interim title fight. I think every division, you have to have at least two title fights. It's just one. It kind of sucks, you know, but guys get hurt, so it happens. And with Francis, though, it wasn't an injury. It's a contract situation, which sucks. Yeah, Aspinall's too high. I mean, but again, they might know something we don't. Have a hunch of Gone, just catching his gone after two rounds. That's possible, too. That's very possible. Or off cutting a punch, the injury thing, even though it was proved he wasn't faking. Yeah, that's true. You need to go to the hospital. Maybe Matrick could only get the fight for Romanoff. That's true, too. Or even match MMA rankings, CP's inside the top 20. He's like Romanoff, plus he had two close fights with Lewis and Bozer. That's for sure, too. Yeah, I mean,
I think he won the Lewis one.
It's possible. And then he beat Bozer, I think, by split, right?
Like, that was very controversial.
He shouldn't have won, but he did. Yeah. Yeah, they do. They do. He thinks Makhachev plus 24. I think Cam's at a plus 550 is a good pick, too. I think Makhachev's not a bad pick. Carlo was not a bad pick at plus money. There's a few that we liked at plus money. There was a couple. Yeah, for sure. All right, we got a few minutes left. We're almost done, but let's go to your page result. Do a few fight announcements before we get out of here, okay?
Because there is, by the way, a fight on Topology, which I tried to confirm, but nobody has posted it yet.
What's the fight?
It's for the London card. It's Corey McKenna against Aliza Reed, but nobody has confirmed it yet, and I don't know
who told you about that one. Who told you that?
It's on Topology. It's actually listed. You know?
Oh, really? And, okay. The fight makes sense. I think it makes sense, right? Like, you know. Sorry, this guy missed the 145 talk. If Giga beats calories to get winner maximum. I think so. I think we said that as well. I think so, yeah. Yeah, I like that Chimaev odds, man. I really do. I think there's good odds on that, guys. Plus 550 in the guy who we all like. I mean, come on. It's got to be something. Even if he doesn't win, I would take that bet any day of the week. So we just talked about this fight, obviously. Interesting matchup. Two very wide people. Marcel, they're both very – like, they both barely – you barely even got them in that picture, right? These two dudes, they're so big. So this just got announced. I mean, if Phil Haas doesn't win this fight, then he's got to be cut forever. Like, and my boy Cole Sheldon broke the fight, by the way. Got to give him credit on that one.
Yeah.
Phil Haas better win this fight, right?
He should.
But how if he doesn't?
Imagine Sam knocks him out, man. What the hell?
Possible, man. Sam's got power.
He got that one punch knockout. Sam.
Yeah, this is the. You know, I just want to see Phil just wrestle this guy. Don't stand and trade anymore. This guy. Why is he standing and trading with people? Take them down.
I know, man.
Just wrestle them. He doesn't have a good chin. He doesn't have great stand-up. Take them down and wrestle them. Yeah, and this is another great fight. We just love this fight. Yeah. March 9th. This is London, right? Right?
Or yeah, that's the target London card, yeah.
Great, great fight. I mean, both guys are studs. A tough fight to call. We'll talk about that in March.
Mm-hmm.
This is another fight that's got announced, guys. We talked about briefly Askarov versus Kyra France. Great fight. And Marcel, obviously, he's a big fan of Askarov, so am I. But I like Kyra France, too. He's really grown on me. Askarov should be favored here, but I think Kyra France has got a chance to win. So, any thoughts on this one?
Man, I told you, man. When Askarov signed with the UFC, he's going to be a champion, and I still stand behind that. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's got a question here. Jack Cartwright. I've heard of him. He's in Cage Warriors? Yeah.
Not anymore.
Oh, he's not. Okay.
He actually vacated this belt because he wanted to sign with another promotion, but he hasn't signed yet. I'm definitely familiar with him. He beat my countryman, Gerardo Fani, last year. But yeah, he's good. He got he's that guy with that small tail on his back, you know, on his head.
Right.
Yeah, from I think he's from Manchester. He's a good fighter, man. But I don't know when where he's gonna sign. He should. I would actually expect him to sign with the UFC, but I don't know why that hasn't happened yet.
So I didn't see his last fight, but on Tapology, his repeated headbutts. His opponent was headbutting him, and he won the fight yeah. that way. That's yeah. so weird. I gotta check that fight out. I haven't seen it. I don't. Maybe I saw it back when it happened, but yeah, that guy is solid. He's asking about like Liquid Death. I don't know what that is. What is that?
Me neither.
That's some band or something. It was like a band, just like a metal band or something. I would take Tapir and Evlov at the top three guys. Yeah, they're both beasts. I hope they do too, but they're going to give O'Malley probably someone favorable. I've even got a few more, so we'll get out of here. That was it. No, I think we talked about these, right? Didn't we do these? Yeah, I think so.
No, for sure. Probably.
Okay, well, if we didn't. Actually, 4 days ago, I don't know if we did. Anyways,
Tim. No, with this one, not probably.
Off. Yeah, it's a good fight. Makes sense. Yeah. Perez and Martinez. I swear to God, I looked at these. Maybe I didn't do it with you. Jacoby, Alexia, that's a good fight too.
Those are all reported by Iridium.
Clark and Egg. Oh yeah, that's right. They reported five of them, so they're not giving them to you anymore, right? That's not very nice. Jackson, no cool about. No, I'm just kidding. But it seems like they're kind of breaking themselves. I think what happened was, and I could be wrong, but that story that Junkie broke about Jason House and like allegedly striking his dad.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. But
the thing is, you know, I'm always like, if I don't know the exact thing what's going on, I'm not gonna talk about it like I know about it. But the thing is, like, and I'm not against it, you know. If managements or fighters announce their own fights, I mean, the fighters fight, so I don't have any problem with them. I actually support fighters announcing their own fights. You know what's wrong with that? Because if you wait for the UFC, they do it like two or three weeks before, and you can do barely any promotion. You know what I mean? During this corona pandemic right now. So, I mean, they sometimes they do early fight announcements like they did today for Latifi against Romanov. It's in February, so it's eight weeks to go, or 6 weeks, whatever. But sometimes they just announce them like 2 or 3 weeks before the fight, or you see him at TV listings. It's also weird, you know, and you can barely do any promotion for it yourself. So I'm for it, you know.
All right. So the thing about Liquid Death is, I haven't heard of this, but it is water. So I'm looking on their Wikipedia, and they wanted to name it like a heavy metal band. So I was right. I was like, is that a metal band? That's what they were going for. So it looks delicious, guys. I don't know what it is, but it looks fucking amazing. It's expensive.
I just drink out of my. How do you say that?
The tap, I think. Right.
Yeah.
Tap. Yeah, Lexiak. Yeah, he's fun to watch. Cool pod. Yeah, we'll be back next week, Tristan. We'll be back Monday and Tuesday. So, it's another week, I think. With
got a very sad announcement to make. This is the last podcast of this year.
I know, it sucks, man. 2022 is done. 2021 is done. 2022. Yeah. Like next time you guys see us, be 2022. I plan on doing one Monday and Tuesday, Marcel. We'll figure something to talk about. But anyways, I think that'd be it for today's podcast, guys. Really appreciate you guys joining us. A lot of fun today. Marcel, plug yourself. Let's get over here, man.
It's still BigMarcel24 on Twitter and Instagram. It's still MMADNA.NL on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook.
There you go, guys. Follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartinPodcast. Is that MMAOsberger.com. It's our YouTube. It's our iTunes, Spotify, all those places. It's already up on those things. I get them up next morning. So definitely check that out. And subscribe, too, if you can't catch the audio version, you can do that. Also, catch you at mymmanews.com. I'll be starting back to right there in the new year. Got a next couple days off. And bookies.com is my full-time job. So it's good stuff. All right, guys, we'll be back Monday, 5 p.m. Eastern. Have a good one, guys. Great weekend. And happy new year to everyone before it happens. Peace, guys.
Yeah. Best wishes.